This morning, we're going to start and go into a teaching. I'm going to teach on the power of confession. You know, the Bible talks about confession, but and generally, you know, we teach in areas of faith about confession, but we're going to look at really, because there's different areas concerning confession, and we're going to look in this today. And I want you to understand, when we're doing this teaching about confession, we're going to be talking about confession and concerning faith in the Word of God. Because see, there's a lot of people, we say things in our lives and we make confessions, and we make confessions that could be good or bad for us. And many people do. Many people confess things and they walk in it and they talk it, and really can do things and hinder in your life. But we're teaching here about faith in the Word of God. And we need to understand this, is a person, there's many, like we have, in Christianity has tons of different beliefs that are non-scriptural. Right. And we need to understand, people call it faith, they call it, but it's not. It's not faith. People have mixed beliefs. They have part of what's true and they mix it with something else, and we're doing that. So we can look at these things, but I want you to get in your mind, when we're talking about this day, we're talking about God's Word. Faith in God's Word. You know, see, lots of times people, you know, they teach, I was raised up under Kenneth Hagin's ministry, and from that standpoint, people say, well, Mark 11:23 and 24. But Mark 11:22 says this, have faith in God. And then it says about the person who believes in their heart and they say with their mouth to come into pass. Then it says about prayer. But it says, faith in God. Well, what is faith in God? Faith in God's Word. You and I have no more faith in God than you know what His Word says and you have knowledge of it. You don't have any more faith in that. Now, you might think you have faith, but it might be, you know, your idea of faith. Your idea of things. You want to make sure that they line up with God's Word. And really, I talk about the power of confession because God's Word is the most powerful seed that there is. And see, it's getting God's Word in your heart. And when we deal with things, I'm talking about us as Christians, because you as a Christian, you have a born-again spirit. It's been born again, the nature of God. Your spirit can have the Word of God in it, and it will perform and produce, if you believe it and say it, will produce whatever is in the will of God to do, whatever it is that you're believing for. Amen. Now, we need to understand, in the world, a sinner, he don't have the same heart. His heart will not produce like ours will. Amen. See, and Christians don't realize that. This is why, you know, Jesus talked about, even to the people in His day and the covenant, you guard your heart. You watch what you get in. Because what? The things that you get in your heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth's going to speak. Amen. And you put wrong things in it, you get wrong things out of it. Amen. Well, you know, and I learned this over time. The Bible, Jesus said this, that you're going to be judged in all the idle words you speak. Mm-hmm. You're not going to be just judged in the things that you said that were exactly right. Idle words. Well, what are idle words? Idle words are this. It's just like we think of something idle, and a motor idling. When an engine's idling, it don't produce much torque. It can't do much of anything, you know. It doesn't do anything. In other words, they're words that don't have power to them. In other words, see, a lot of people think about, well, then that's, you're just talking other stuff and natural. You're going to talk natural things. Idle words are is one of the things the Lord showed me years ago. It's people that walk around, they know scriptures and they quote them, but they don't really believe them, and they produce nothing with them. See, you can be a religious person, and you can walk around saying, well, I believe this or that, but you really don't believe that or that. What you're doing is something different. Your words were idle. There was no power in them. There's no power in His words. They're not producing. See, God's Word is designed to produce in you, and that's why what we say is so important. It's hugely powerful. So we need to. We don't just idly make statements about the Word of God. It's over time. See, people do that, and I find lots of times, especially among us confession folks, it's really hard when you have to deal with somebody because they're saying the right thing, but I know this: they ain't in it. They got idle words. It ain't working in them. They're saying things out of their head. They've never, you know, sat down and got it to, this is what I really believe. Because they turn around and things don't work out. It don't happen for them. It don't work. Well, I know this. If it's God's word and it's in your heart and you believe it and don't doubt, it will come to pass. And if it don't, you done missed it. So don't play any games.
Amen.
Don't act like you were believing. No, something was wrong with my believing.
Amen.
You know, I've had it happen enough. I don't know. Hold it. See, now, I know these things sound hard, but it is true. Either God's word's right or not.
Amen.
We can't measure it to make Ed feel good.
Amen.
It'll produce what it says. And we want to look at these things because we get right and wrong thinking. We get right and wrong things in. It's number one, getting the Word of God into your heart. It takes work and time.
Amen.
You know, I'm going to make some statements about concerning here in doing this because the Lord spoke to me about it today. But, you know, we always look at certain people as being, you know, everything they did was such faith. But, you know, Brother Hagin wasn't always perfect in his faith. There's things I listened to him talk about, and I thought, you know, he can't do certain things because he says certain things. You know, Brother Hagin, you know, as he got older, he got bigger. He talked all the time and says, well, you know, you get older, you have a harder time keeping your weight. Well, he got ballooned up pretty good. But you know what? He said that all the time, and I used to think, he can't lose weight. His mouth is keeping him from losing weight.
Amen.
What he keeps saying.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, people say those things today. See, when you get older, certain things are going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
See, he even got up in the area of age. He went and used the thing where God said in his word was dealing with Israel about 70 or 80 years in length of life had to do with the people coming in the wilderness, dying off. He said that all the time. Well, God promised us 70, 80 years. And I used to think, that ain't right. God didn't. Well, it's interesting because what happened was, Keith Moore, when I was at Rhema, was doing some teaching on the areas of longevity of life. And Brother Hagin was listening to his teaching. And I knew this, that Brother Hagin saw that he had been wrong. See, he got over it. See, don't ever think anybody knows it all. Because what happens, this is what they do. People follow man.
Mm-hmm.
They don't look for themselves in the Word. Well, you know what, though? He did that for so long. Brother Hagin wanted to make some changes in that, but he couldn't. So you can go too far with something and just keep it up. You can have a hard time changing it.
Mm-hmm.
You put things out there. So this is one of the things. We need to be careful about our talking and saying and making sure that what we say is what we really want in life. Because you keep saying, you can set spiritual things in motion. I'm going to tell you what, you're going to have a hard time ever putting a brake on and stopping. You need to be careful about those things.
Amen.
You might want to change something you can't change. It's already been set into motion.
Amen.
So, and this is why we're talking about it. Because God's Word in an individual is so powerful. It's an incredible thing. You're born again Christians.
Amen.
The Word of God is designed in you to really, to bring the kingdom of God's, whatever God wants, a blessing, into fruition.
Amen.
It's designed to do that. That's its design.
Amen.
And so, you know, we pray that God's will is done on earth like it is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 90% of the church prays that and don't believe it at all.
Amen.
They don't expect, if you know, well, we know God don't want you healed sometime. Well, they have sickness in heaven. You can't even talk to them about it. They don't believe, they got in their minds and a way of thinking and they're talking. And these people talk about, we're faith. But really, they're not talking faith words. They're not words out of their mouth. And see, we need to understand that. It's how you talk. There's one thing, as I learned from Kenneth Hagin, was concerning health. He was very guarded in his mouth. And I learned to be very guarded in my mouth. And you know why?
Mm-hmm.
Then God's Word became a success in my life.
Amen.
But it won't be in yours till you learn.
Amen. Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you what, it'll take you work and training.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You ain't going to do it overnight.
Amen.
But what you do is you start hooking up with the Word of God. Start getting the Word of God in you. Start speaking the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to learn to do that. Get that in there. Any of the direction you want to have. Whatever blessing you want. They don't fall off, you know, on you like ripe cherries off a tree. That does not happen.
Amen.
It doesn't take place like that. So, and I'm going to guarantee you what you're going to have, you know, you're going to go through difficult times sometimes. And we're going to talk about that in confession. The Bible tells you, you know, there's things you got to do that you got to stand and you can't change what you said no matter how the circumstances change.
Amen.
Let me just say this. The Holy Spirit just brought this up to me, and I want to say this. You all probably have experienced this, is where you have messed up. And I'm going to tell you what, you might not think you did, but I'm going to tell you did. Circumstances changed, and your confession changed. And you, and that's why nothing took place for you. No, if you're standing in faith in a direction, you don't change your confession because something else changes.
Amen.
Well, now we're going to believe this way. Well, what did you just do over, what was that other thing about?
Yeah.
You see what it is? All you led yourself into more unbelief.
Yep. Amen. That's right. Amen. That's
right. I don't move. I don't change.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
You don't move. You don't change. See, I watched people do that over the years, and I know this. And you know, and I found this out. Most time, people won't let you talk to about it. They got too much pride about their faith. No, I'm saying you can't say it. I think it ain't gonna work for them. It's not gonna work. No, nope. They've changed now. Well, what about that other belief? You can just throw your faith aside and go do something else. And... So you can't treat God's word like that.
Amen.
Say, well, I don't like that. Let's just go in. Let's go out in the field and just. I don't like that crop. Let's just quick pull it out and go put something else in there. What do you think? Come harvest time, don't be surprised you ain't got nothing.
Amen.
Now, if you had unbelief, good to tear it up. But, see, this is why you guard. I learned this from Kenneth Hagin. You know, take time to decide what you really want.
Amen.
Take the time what you're going to really stand on. Take time. See, this is not some frivolous thing that we do that we just take God's word, just throw it out there, throw it out there, throw it out there. We don't do that. And there's one thing is I did learn from Brother Hagin because he was very disciplined in those areas. And I just sort of figured if Ed was going to have any discipline in his life, he was going to have to do that too. He's going to have to get disciplined.
Amen.
And especially in those areas, I found out this. Your confessions are really guiding your life.
Amen.
See, you can believe the Word of God and say you believe it. But the things you believe in your heart are guiding your mind. Things you really believe. In your heart. Those are the things that guide your life as you say them. And so, you know, when you guard yourself, you put good seed in you. See, we talked about, remember teaching the parable of the sower, that seed? Remember this, the devil's always trying to get at your seed.
Amen. Amen. Preach.
In other words, he's trying to get at your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's doing. That seed growing up in there. And so if he can get a hold of your mouth, he can change things concerning the seed. You know, it says Satan come along and he steals the word out of you. He can't steal the word out of you without you letting him.
Amen. Right. Say that again.
He can't do it. Now, what we're going to look at, because there's confession. We're going to look at some things dealing with confession. Dealing with the areas of confession of sin in the Old Covenant, confession of sin in the New Covenant, areas we're going to look at. Confession of sin in the Old Covenant. We need to understand this. When we look at the Old Covenant people are not born again. They're not Christians. When we look at covenant, God, covenant, sin, the Old Testament was not for the Gentile. It was specifically for the Jew. God never held the Gentile, really, from the standpoint of wrongdoing and things. It's the same as He did with Israel. Why? Because they were under a covenant with God. God had a demand on them that was different. He never held them up to the same standard. He didn't do that. You know, we have the picture, the enemy comes along with Israel and hauls the Ark of the Covenant off. I mean, they carry it off. And they're handling this thing. Now, it turns around that they started getting tumors and stuff and things like that. But you know, God dealing with Israel, a priest walked up and touched the ark and wasn't supposed to and dropped dead immediately. See, God judged them a whole lot stricter. Why? They were under a covenant and God held them to that covenant. We need to understand, I ain't saying this to make you afraid, but we have a covenant that we're under.
Amen.
And we have to understand that. When we read the Word, we need to understand who's what and what and what covenant. People have things mixed up today. You know, most of the time you sing blood songs. Most blood songs are old covenant songs. It's about covered in the blood. I ain't covered in no blood.
Amen.
That's right.
You know, We sing songs and they have all these different things in it. They say was old covenant. And so we do those things. We need to understand this. We need to guard ourselves because these will affect how far you can go in faith in areas. How far your faith will work. See, if you think it. See, I mean, you think about God. I've heard Christian ministers say this. Well, you know, God looks at us through the blood. No, He don't. He looks at Ed face to face. He can look right at me because why? He wasn't like with Israel. Israel's sin was covered, and I don't cover on. You never have covers on your bed. You get up in the morning, you pull them off, don't you? Well, every year the cover came off of the sins of Israel, and the sins from the year before are still there. Well, my sins were removed. They ain't under the sheet with me. You see. Your wrong believing leaves you in bad situations. You believe and you fall in line with the things. And that's why, you know, we gotta, you know, watch how we think and what we say when we're doing these things. Because if we don't follow the word, in which the church doesn't do well at it in a lot of areas. We have a lot of tradition. A lot of tradition. I was really surprised at this. Kenneth Hagin, I remember years ago in his teaching, the Lord showed him one time Jesus talked to him about certain things in him he had to change. And he said he had a lot of Baptist thinking in him because he came out from a Baptist background. He had to change. But he said the hardest thing he had to change was his Pentecostal tradition. I'm going to tell you, the Spirit-filled folks and the Word people got a lot of tradition. And you know, we need to deal with it and the Word. And you know what? People love their traditions. People love tradition, just like, and it's easy to see. It's just the same way as, you know, we love our culture. We love our different cultures. We love the culture. And I'll tell you what we tell you. I'm a Christian, but number one, I'm following my culture. See, all these things affect the Word of God, and we need to understand what we're following. You know, there's things that we can have in culture that don't matter either way, which way it goes. It doesn't really matter. But there's things that affect the Word of God.
That's right.
And that goes, don't expect to have God's best. Don't expect to. Over the years, I'll find things, you know, things get deep-seated in you. From the way of thinking, from the time you were grown up, that people said things and thought things and said that and put it up. People followed along and say, well, you know, they watch what everybody else does and things. And, well, you know, it seems it's this way in life. When it ain't that way at all, it's just what people do. And the Word has something better. And so we want to get hooked up in that. But we're going to look at those things. We're going to take, as we go through these things, we're going to look at, you know, the confessions concerning to get born again. We're going to look at confessions of our faith to bring God's will to pass. We want to look at these areas and the use of confession. Now, one of the things that I want us to look at is go over to Matthew, the third chapter. We're going to read something here because these scriptures have affected Christianity in our belief in salvation, which they are not for us at all. But we have built things around these kinds of things concerning salvation. Now, in Matthew, the third chapter, it says this in verse 1. It says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And it said, for this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John himself was clothed in camel's hair and leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the regions around the Jordan went out to him, and were baptized by him, confessing their sins. Now, see, we do one of the things we do this is today. See, people read this thing. One thing is we have to put this in its context. This is not New Testament. This is written in the New Testament, what we call the New Testament. But this is the law. Jesus had not died or was raised from the dead. The New Covenant had not started. This is Old Covenant cleansing. And we need to get this. See, we have today all the time. I see people, big name ministers, want to lead people to Christ. You need to confess your sin to get saved. All the time with it. All the time people do this. need to confess your sin to get saved. Say, associate baptism with water and this confession sin again, because there's a similar things concerning the New Testament. We have water baptism. But water baptism in these was that water baptism, even from our side, is a physical act. It's a physical act. Now, the Jews had all these washings and cleansings they had to go through. Every time they were messed up or done anything, there was washings and cleansings they had to go through. And so, John the Baptist is called by God. And I understand, John the Baptist died. And when he died, he didn't go to heaven. He wasn't born again. He went to Abraham's bosom. He couldn't go to heaven till after Jesus was raised from the dead. And see, people, we put something in a wrong category. See, we get in our religious minds and think, on our side, we put all this stuff in a bag and we shake it up and we pull stuff out. You know, Jesus never had Christian baptized. Jesus wasn't. Jesus is baptized in the Jordan was Old Testament baptism. Now people say, well, I want to go to the Jordan and get baptized like Jesus. You can't. You're a Christian. Now, if somebody wants to go and do it, go ahead and do it. But you ain't being baptized like Jesus was, because Jesus was never baptized as a Christian. He was born again one day. He was raised from the dead. The Bible tells us he was the firstborn from the dead. But you know, he never got water baptized. Well, throw that at Christians, will shake them up. We do very little thinking about what we read in the Bible. Just sit down and think about it. So if people, I'm going over to Israel, I want to get baptized like Jesus. Well, you can't. You're in the new covenant. If you want to go down there and get baptized in water, water baptism didn't save me to begin with. In fact, I was baptized. I got saved and then some months later got filled with the Holy Ghost and sometime later got baptized. Well, I had gifts and manifestations of that Spirit operating through me, and I'd never been water baptized, so I know salvation, I'm talking in tongues, I'm doing the whole thing. Water baptism is an outward sign to something to others. It's part of our confession to the world, we've changed camps.
Amen.
That's what it is.
Amen.
Now, water baptism has a great significance from this standpoint. If you take from a culture's of the age and time dealing with this, because baptisms, even today, many religions, like I was in India, the big thing it was in India, you became a Christian and you were in a Hindu area and that stuff among all these Hindus. The thing of it is, they didn't, Hindus could go to a Christian church. But one thing you didn't do was get water baptized. Because water baptism said you change camps. Mm-hmm. That's what it meant. See, when I was over there and we did a crusade, and the guy said to me, they had a guy in a church that they had there. He was in their youth ministry, and they said, oh, he's a Christian, he got saved, but he wouldn't be water baptized because he was afraid of the Hindus. And I told him, you should never have that guy in charge of anything. He's afraid. Mm-hmm. And they have him in charge of the kids. Shouldn't have him in charge of anything. He's afraid. Well, they told us there, see, one of the things of it is, and I found out, they were bringing people so-called to Christ, but no, people weren't getting saved. Because I found this is what they were doing. See, they had their traditions there in Christianity, and their ministers in the church were very much like the Hindu priests. The people bowed down to them, and the people, they were the holy men. And I found out they were doing. They would have an altar call, and the people didn't. They didn't have the people pray to be saved and make a confession. They confessed. They prayed for the people. This is what they were doing. Now, there was ministries over there, and I talked to people, and even Rhema people. They went there. They thought this stuff was wonderful. I get there, and I thought, man, this stuff is so unscriptural here. Mm-hmm. They're following a religion, and people aren't getting saved. And this is what I was told. Well, a lot of people will come up during, when you hold the crusade at night. A lot of people will come up to get saved. But they won't get water baptized. They won't do it. And I told the guy, I said, you don't know my gospel and you don't know my Jesus. Mm-hmm. Well, he didn't care for that much. He was an Indian guy who had been living in America, and he's been playing this game back and forth. And he was playing a game. Well, and I told him that. Well, I preached the gospel, and I did what they never did, and I stopped. And I had people, when they come up, they made a confession to Christ.
Amen. Praise God.
And you know what? The day of baptism comes. It was a Sunday morning. And I got up on Sunday morning. We went in. We had a service. And all these people wanted to be baptized was there. And I taught a message to them. And we went down right beside the Hindu temple. Right in the river beside it. And we baptized hundreds of people.
Amen.
Now, the power of religion is this. I said to the guy who told me that, I said, well, did you see how many people come down? He said to me, you just don't understand. I said, yeah, you need to get saved, buddy.
Mm.
Don't understand.
Amen.
See, these people, he swears he's in Christianity, but it ain't Christianity that's going on here.
Amen.
They use scriptures, but it's not what they're doing. And see, but I found this out. It is the power of the Word. It was the power of the Word. I didn't do anything special. I just gave the Word and did what the Word said. And they got saved and they lost their fear of the Hindus.
Amen.
What you're afraid of, you don't know the Word.
Amen.
You don't know the Word about it because the Word will drive your fears away.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
You won't be fearful, you'll be fierce.
Amen.
The Word is powerful.
Hallelujah.
And when you believe it in your heart and you start saying with a mouth, it won't even change things around you. It will change you. You want to change you, you need to change what you believe and say. Or you will never change you.
Preach. Preach. Say that again.
It's powerful. It will the Word changes me. I find stuff out about myself and this is what I do. I want to change something about me. I start changing what I believe. I start looking at the Word. I start speaking what the Word says. Amen. I don't wait to say, well, you know, when I get changed, then I'll say I'm free. No, I'm free now.
Hallelujah.
I'm not going to be. And I start talking the words of a free man. I don't keep talking the words of my bondage. This is why people don't get healed.
Amen. Come on.
Talk the word of the bondage. No, I don't talk the word of my bondage. You see, we need to get into this right thinking of things.
Amen.
This is why bringing people to Christ is so important. How a person is so-called brought to Christ will determine a lot how far they can go. If you have a bad start, don't expect a good finish. Hey, go out here and watch people race. Watch runners. The guy with the bad start usually don't win.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
I knew this. When I got born again, I knew why the Lord told me to stay close to Brother Hagin's teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Because too many people were tied to too many people that were hurting their start. I found this out. See, as a sinner, I was raised up in a church. We were taught all kind of religious stuff. I never heard the truth about salvation till I got born again. And started in the Word, listened to Canadian teaching, heard the truth of salvation. All the years of my life, all the times I was in church, I never really heard the truth. I heard a little piece of this, a little piece of that, a little piece of that. But there was such power in the truth.
Amen.
That's what revolutionized my life.
Thank you, Jesus.
Good messages, if they ain't the Word, they don't mean anything.
Amen.
Might make you feel good. But I'll tell you, don't worry, go home. The devil will have you feeling bad till next week.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he does. He's good at it. See, you're going along, you're growing up. There's one thing is I learned this fact. I need to find the truth because the Word of God is so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can find and understand what the Word is saying and I start getting it into me and I start talking that, I can bring the change I want to bring.
Amen.
Because the Word will produce it. I don't produce it. All I do is cooperate. The farmer doesn't make the seed grow in the field.
Amen.
Oh, he might help it put some water on it and do some stuff. But the power of that seed is what produces what's to produce. The Word will produce it. So I know this. If I'm not producing what I want, then
Amen.
There's something wrong with what I think seed is.
Amen.
I don't have good seed. But if it's the Word of God, it's good seed.
Hallelujah.
And it's going to produce.
Amen.
See, we need to God thinking that.
Amen.
The Word of God is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So we need to get thinking in that area. See, we want to get thinking of this thing. They were out there confessing sin and baptizing. That has come into the church world. We need to get that thing out of here concerning salvation.
Amen.
This is Old Testament. Confessing sin.
Amen.
We need to move away. That is not scriptural. Even, I don't care who says it. I don't care if it's somebody's favorite minister. They've done missed it. They come along and saying these things. You know, people do these things. See, we get all this stuff about here. We have teaching in the New Testament, which is correct about Christ in you. And then people want people to pray. Now, I want you to think about this. We have people praying and we say, ask Jesus into your heart. Now, I want you to think about that. You got a sinner. Ask Jesus into your heart. He cannot come into a dead spirit. Asking a person to do that is can't do a thing. Jesus cannot come in. You must get, this is why the Bible says, Jesus said, you must be born again. Mm-hmm. Asking Jesus. We do this, and one thing that I don't like about it, we do it with kids. We think it's cute and ask, don't start cute junk. You kids can understand truth better than the adults do. You can tell kids the truth and they can understand it. It's God's Word. God can't get His Word across to kids. He's pretty stupid.
Come on.
Because the devil's people sure do a good job at it.
Amen. Amen.
You don't change the gospel for kids. They're smart.
Amen. They soak it up.
And if you put the wrong thing in them when they're young, don't be surprised. You can't control things and things are out of hand. Things are a mess because you planted rotten seed in them. You put false religion seed in them. And we should not expect it to turn out all right.
Amen. Great preaching.
Jesus Christ could not come into my dead spirit. He couldn't come into it. I had to be born again, and you need to tell people. They get born again, they don't have to ask Him. He comes right in.
Amen. Amen.
See, if you tell a person they have to ask Him, well, what if he says no?
Mm.
Well, they have to wait till they get an answer, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, did He come in? I don't know. I didn't hear any knocking. I didn't, you know. You see, we come to Christ, it's a whole different thing. We're not asking God to do something for us. God did something for us. We're receiving it. Salvation's
Amen.
About receiving. Receive. It's not about trying to get God to do something.
Amen.
We got to get this stuff out of here. Salvation is so simple and so powerful. This is one thing. See, my salvation was powerful. When I got born again, and I'm going to tell you what, I get people, I just don't understand how weak they are saved. I just don't understand it. Well, I know now. Why? Because they have such a mixture. It's a wonder many people even got saved. There's loads of people in the body of Christ, even sitting in spirit-filled churches, have never gotten born again and believe they're a child of God. They have come through religious means. And you know what? They want God. They want, but nobody's ever told them. Nobody's ever talked to them about the truth of it.
Amen.
Making the right confessions.
Amen.
See, we have to do that. Now, Jesus in John, we're going to go John the third chapter here. John the third chapter, Jesus is talking here. This is to Nicodemus. Now, I want you to get this because understand this. At this time is going on, John the Baptist is still alive and he's still baptizing people when this goes on here. Because if you read on, you find out about it. Jesus already also with his disciples. Now listen, Jesus and his disciples were going out and people were coming and Jesus' disciples were baptizing people. Well, they weren't getting saved. They're not getting saved. Jesus hadn't been raised from the dead. This is Old Testament. This is the Old Testament. In other words, people getting in line with that covenant. The Messiah is coming. The Deliverer is coming. But they need to understand this. Salvation, this is something they're still looking to. But they need to get in line with their covenant to get the blessing to come. They're supposed to get in line. Well, we know this, that people must not have done too well because Jesus didn't have a ton of followers when he turned around and was raised from the dead. So people weren't getting, if they'd have gotten in line and listened, they'd have known what was going on. Now we know some did. We know that some did. We know that ones got in line. But we want to look at this. This is Jesus and Nicodemus. It says, in verse 1 of 3, it says, in those days, John 3 in verse 1 says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now, this man's a Pharisee. He's a ruler of the Jews. In other words, he is in the Sanhedrin. These are the rulers of the Jews. But he's a Pharisee. Now, he makes this statement, and he says this. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do this, these signs that you do unless God's with him. See, this is why you understand why Jesus dealt with the Pharisees the way he did. They're liars. Nicodemus, who's one of the heads, says, we know you're a teacher. He didn't say, I know. He said, we know. Amen. So the Pharisees came and knocked Jesus and said, he had a devil. Not. They are lying. See, he's dealing with liars. See, if you read the Bible, you'd know that. You know, these guys go around, they're operating against Jesus. And this is all about natural things. They like being in charge and they don't want anybody doing any better than them. And the same stuff goes on today. I'll tell you, I've watched it in ministries where anybody rises up and starts doing pretty good. Who's ever in charge tries to press them down because they don't want anybody looking better than them. And, you know, we don't want God to go too far. I don't want to lose my position and say, you don't even have position anymore. You only have position with men, but not God.
Amen.
And there's many out there today are like that. They only have position among men. Hallelujah. Praise God. Good preaching.
Amen.
Well, listen to this. So this guy, he says this. I love this as Jesus' response to him. Jesus says, this guy don't even ask a question. And Jesus starts bang right down the line talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
Talks to him. Jesus turns around and it says, and Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he can't see the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. You can't see it. Now just think about that. That's it. He goes, if one isn't born again. So in other words, there's a something that has to take place for people to be able to see the kingdom of God.
Amen.
There's something that has to take place. And he said, you must be born. And he said, he didn't say this is a suggestion, maybe something you liked. He said, this is a must. Number one, when we're dealing with people in salvation, we're dealing with people to be born again. We have removed that today. We've removed the word of God from salvation to people, you know. We're trying to make nice people. No, God will make a person nice like he wants to, but they got to get born again to become that nice thing.
Amen.
They need changed. We don't preach people they need changed. You just confess your sin, you know, you accept Jesus. No, you need changed.
Amen.
Why? Because there's something wrong with you.
Amen. Preach.
People don't like that. I'm sorry.
Hallelujah.
There was something wrong with me. No matter how I wanted God, I couldn't, it wasn't going to work. No matter how I wanted it. I needed change, and that change cannot be done by me. I can't do it. I can't. There's no way. But you know, faith in the Word of God will change that.
Amen.
That's the only thing.
Amen.
If I respond to faith in the Word of God, nobody gets saved except through faith in the Word of God. You don't get saved any other way. Can't do it. You can come up with all kind of drills that people go through to do it. You can go what you want. But it's faith. You know, I just accepted Jesus Christ. I made Jesus my Lord. I said this to the Lord. He reminded me of it because I said, why am I? That's the Lord after times are going along. And I see people waning along. They're starting to get cooled down. I said, why am I so hungry and still hungry? He said, because you made me Lord. And then he reminded me. It came to me the night I got saved. I said to the Lord. I said, I served Satan and did whatever he wanted me to do. And I said, I was good at it. I did it. I knew how to serve a devil. I didn't play around. And I said, now you're my Lord. I'm going to serve you. Whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do. See, I made him. You know, most people have never, you know, I'll tell you what. You'd be sitting here today, but you've never really made a really good commitment to God. See, it's one thing to get born again, but I'm going to tell you what. You need to get committed.
Woo!
You ain't going nowhere till you get committed.
Hallelujah.
I'm just telling you. And the Lord told me, he said, that's what happened to them. They waned off their head. He said, you made a commitment that night to me.
Amen.
See, there goes power when you do what the Word says. There's power. God changed. I'm going to serve you. You know, my mouth. People just, I watch sometimes this so-called sinner's prayer stuff. And I watch, it's like, dear God. It's so wish-washy. It's like, you know, no. This is about, this thing's going to, we need to stop and tell people, you know what? You do this and what the Word said, it'll revolutionize your life. You're going to become a different person.
That's Amen. Right. Yes, you will. Thank you, Jesus.
People today, by the millions, have prayed prayers and they never get on fire for God. They Amen. Never get nothing.
Amen. Come on.
There's no expectation Preach. Of a changed life.
Preach.
Now, you just need your sins forgiven. Oh, no, you don't. You need born again.
Amen.
You're a darn idiot. You get your sins forgiven, you're an idiot still.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
You get born again. You get changed.
Amen.
This is what we're heading for, the change life.
Amen.
I don't want to be what I was anymore.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I can't tell. I didn't do this. This was God's working and His doing. The Word performed it. I just believed it.
Amen.
I said what the Word said, amen, and it revolutionized my life.
Amen. Praise
say,
God.
Well, why you did this? I just did what the Word said, amen, but the change didn't come because I was so...
That's right.
Man, I tried to change a lot of times, but it never worked.
Amen.
Well, now we're looking at this, and Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now, a lot of things that even... These new translations, they talk about man needs to be born from above. That's not what it says. Nicodemus heard the words he said, and Nicodemus knew he was talking about birth. Not something above. No, the above didn't happen to me. It happened in me.
Amen.
It wasn't above nowhere. What happened was in me. I needed a new birth. Now, so he asked him, how can this happen? He said, can I go in? So he's thinking from the natural. You see, you understand this. The law was about controlling the flesh through the natural. That's the law. The law wasn't spiritual. The Bible tells us it wasn't spiritual. It was carnal. It was trying to bring man into line. It was to show man this. You can't keep your flesh under unless the inner man gets changed. You can't keep it under. Why? Because your nature on the inside is why the outside stinks.
Amen. Amen.
That was me. I was ugly on the inside and I got ugly on the outside. I said, well, hey, it was. Shouldn't
amen
surprise nobody.
Amen.
You know, we have people today and they say, well, why are people like they are? Because they ain't saved.
Amen.
It's easy to figure out. But see, when people don't know nothing about the new birth, even the Christians, so-called Christians, don't know a thing about the new birth, they're always trying to do something psychological to get people changed.
Amen.
No, you don't need psychology. You need birth.
Amen.
Then you need to walk in the light of that birth. And I tell you, follow the Word, and the Word is powerful. It will change you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
It will work. But Jesus said, verse 5, answered him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now listen to what he said. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you that you must be born again. See, you've got to be born. There needs to be a spiritual change in man. You see, the Pharisees must not have been paying attention to what the prophet said about getting a new heart. You need a new change. Your heart is your spirit. You needed a spiritual change. That spiritual change does not come by doing religious confessions.
Amen.
It's by believing the Word of God and declaring it for yourself. That Word has the power to produce what it said in you. It'll produce it in you where you become a different person.
Amen. Hallelujah.
See, we got to lead people to Christ today, and they lead people to Christ. They don't ever go to church. They don't ever go nowhere. They don't have more. They don't read their Bible. They don't have no hunger for nothing from God. They didn't change.
Amen. Amen. Preach. That's true. That is true.
And I can tell you why. It's because of the lousy gospel that was preached to them, told them about accepting Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I ask people, do you want to change? Because you need
amen
to.
Amen.
Say, do you really want to change?
Mm-hmm.
Pray in a sinner, so-called sinner's prayer. If you don't want to change, you're wasting your time praying.
Amen.
So you like living your life? You want to do what you want to do? You want to keep doing it? Well, just keep doing it because this thing I'm talking about here, this will change your life.
Amen.
And there are people who don't want to chase after God.
Come on. Right. Come on, preach. That's true.
They just don't want to do it.
Amen.
You know? Don't take them through some fire insurance prayer.
Amen. Amen.
Because, you know what? You're as bad off as they are.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
Doing that kind of rot.
Come on.
We don't do that. We don't change the gospel for people.
Amen.
No.
Come on. Yep. The
The Holy Spirit tells, the Bible, Scripture says, the Holy, John wrote, the Holy Scripture convicts the world of sin.
Amen.
That's His job. They need changed. How can we preach a gospel? Just ask Jesus to forgive your sin. You don't have to change. We just go on with this stuff here. I'm sorry. The Holy Spirit ain't going along with that stuff.
Amen.
That's right.
He convicts the person of a need to change. They're going to, man, you're in bad shape.
Amen.
You know, I've been a Christian, and the Holy Spirit at times showed me that I need to,
Amen.
I need
Amen.
To make changes. I'm
Amen.
In bad shape.
Amen.
He still does it to you. Amen. But to get saved, you have to know your needs. You need change. And that change can't be done by man. It can't be done. You ain't going to renew your mind to the Word of God till you become born again.
Amen.
See, you got to change. See, my inner man is after the things of God. That's what he wants.
Amen.
Now, I have a choice for this. I can either go after it or I don't.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But see, we got to go after it. That Word, I found that is super powerful. If I can get the seeds of those words in my spirit and I start saying them,
Hallelujah.
They produce
Thank
the
Jesus.
Things for me that I desire and want.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Power in the Word.
Most Christians, you know, the Bible says God will give you the desires of your heart. And I hear Christians say that. But most Christians, they're only ever after the desires of their flesh.
Mm-hmm. Come on. Come on.
That's all they're ever after.
Great preacher.
Natural
Great
stuff preacher. All the time. They don't see their need to change spiritually. Mm-hmm. The power of the Word will change you
yes,
spiritually.
Will.
It'll change yes, you. And I'll tell you what, your flesh will find out you don't desire certain things anymore.
Amen.
You thought were important. There's things that I used to think, boy, I'd really like to have this or that. I'll tell you today, I look at that, I wouldn't want that at all. No, I don't want that.
Amen.
No.
Amen.
No.
Amen.
No, that's not important anymore.
Amen.
Stuff that just ain't important anymore. But you know what? That never happened. Because see, I was following things of the natural. The power of the Word, that's why you want to start confessing the Word about yourself, what the Bible says you are.
Amen.
You need to start saying those things.
Amen.
But we have this thing, this new birth. So Nicodemus answered, said, how can these things be? And Jesus answered him and said, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? This guy didn't know. Now just say, no wonder Israel's in a mess. The leaders don't understand. They're trying to do everything for the natural. They're trying to do everything. They don't know. Man needs change. We need changed. Nicodemus came. He's messed up. He knows this dude's from God. But he ain't got a clue. He thinks, you know, we're just going to follow some more rules. It's all going to work. You know? It's like in America we do, and even the church does. Oh, the government ought to make a law against that. Well, they have to keep the Christians from sinning. Because the Christians will be the first one breaking the law. No, I don't need a law. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Law's not grace.
Amen.
Grace is powerful. Grace is the power of God that changes a person's life.
Mm-hmm.
Grace. If grace is in motion, it's doing something that is supposed to be permanent, not a temporal patch. Today's Christianity, and even among the Spirit-filled folk, is mostly Band-Aids. It's all Band-Aid Christianity. Put a Band-Aid on and... You know, it don't even heal. I mean, just like not putting anything on it or salve or nothing or just, you know, we're going along. We're going to put, no, the Word of God will fix it.
Hey, yes it will. Amen.
You know, I don't want 10 operations.
That's right.
Amen.
One will do. You know? No, we go to the, we put a Band-Aid on it and it needs fixed again. It needs fixed again. It needs fixed. No, get the Word of God. Get it, the Word of God. Hallelujah. You know, when I came into the kingdom, this was the stuff, you know, it was like, man, God's power, you get in the Word of God, God's going to change you, going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that today. If you're having trouble, you know, I get these things from Spirit-filled ministers and stuff, and they send you an email about people and their problems. Say, you're sending these out to Christians, quit treating them like, tell them, say, you shouldn't even have half the problems you do. What's wrong with you?
Amen.
Why aren't you standing on the Word? What's wrong with you? You call yourself Spirit-filled, and I don't know what spirit it is.
Amen.
Bunch of weaklings and cakes can't stand through nothing. The world's doing better than you. Say, what is going on here? But you know what? They help people stay babies and tell them, say, hey, hold it. You're born again. Get into the Word. If you're not, well, don't call my prayer chain. We can't keep fixing you.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Stand stand up and be bold.
Amen.
The church has become just like the nation. We got to pass huge bills with all kind of money in them to take care of what people don't take care of themselves.
Mm. Come on.
Amen.
See, where'd they get that copy from? The church. Trying to take care of what people won't take care of. No, get into the Word. The Word's true. We need to preach to people how powerful the Word is.
Yeah.
There's nothing more incredible than the Word of God.
Amen.
When I'm standing on the Word, that's when I'm standing on Jesus.
Amen. The solid rock and foundation.
Here is the Word of God.
Hallelujah.
Him and the Word are one.
Yes.
And I ain't no more one with Jesus than I am with the Word.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God.
And it's powerful. See, we see Jesus walking in here. Jesus walked. Just think about it. He walked in the knowledge of the Word of the Old Covenant. Look what He did. Israel was marveled at it. And here's walking under the knowledge of the Word of the Old Covenant as a prophet under the Old Covenant. And look what happened. What should happen under our covenant?
Amen. Amen.
Lord.
He said, I don't say anything the Father don't say. In other words, whatever God and the Father has said in the Word, that's what I'm doing.
Yep. Amen.
The Word produced through Him. He was not special. He was a man.
Amen. Amen.
When you make Him that He was just special, you just put yourself on a shelf to have trouble. You know, I'll just go sit up there. You're going to rust and rot away. You know, you're just going to be in the back shelf there. We'll knock the dust off of you every once in a while and say we like it. No. If the words of that covenant would produce the things that it is, what were the words of our covenant?
Hallelujah.
Our covenant. What would the words do? I'm just telling you, these words are powerful.
Amen.
But we need to be convinced. Is it true or not? Say, well, I don't know. I believe the Word and this didn't happen. Well, that couldn't be.
Amen.
You couldn't have believed it and it didn't happen.
Amen. Come on.
That's an impossibility.
Amen. That's right.
Oh, no, 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 no. See, I couldn't be wrong. It must be the Word.
Amen.
Not me.
Amen.
Mr. Perfect here, you know. When Jesus needs help, He calls me and that's me. No, if it's not working, see, don't blame God.
Amen.
If you can't blame God, you can't blame the Word.
Amen.
You've got to blame you. Say, well, Ed, I guess you just missed it.
Yep.
Now, what do I need? What didn't I know?
Mm-hmm.
See, when I was I got born again. This was very helpful to me concerning the Word. Kenneth Hagin, when he was on his deathbed as a kid, and he was dying, it's a really good revelation that majority of people ever listen to his testimony. I'll tell you, the majority, I'd say almost probably 99%. I don't know how they miss it. But he talked about it. He got over in the thing where he got partial revelation about Mark 11:24. And he made a statement about he believed God in healing. He believed God concerning healing. And he made a statement to the Lord about it. And the Lord said this to him. He said, you believe as far as you know. You know, if he would have stayed in the revelation he was, he'd have died. See, he saw that God wanted to heal him. So he was believing from this standpoint. Well, God wants, I'm believing God will heal me. Well, that isn't what Mark 11:24 says.
Right.
See, he never believed he received it. God gave him a revelation, took him back to that Word, and he saw it, that he was supposed to receive his healing. And when he did, it changed. This is why most people never get healed. Well, I believe God will heal me. No, I don't believe God will heal me. He's done did it. You aren't in faith when you're believing. That is no more than hope that will not come to pass.
Amen. Amen. Preach.
I believe God will heal me. I believe Jesus took my infirmities and bore my sickness. I believe I received it. You see, we're talking about covenant Word. See, the Word is the power. As soon as he got in line with the Word, he's laying there in that bed, and the Lord said to him, it's 10 o'clock in the morning. He said, people shouldn't be in bed at 10 o'clock in the morning. He's paralyzed from the waist down. See, You might hear the Word and it might tell you to do something you don't like. I think some people, that's why they don't go to it. See, I don't like the faith stuff because it might. And you know what he did? He got a hold of his bedpost and like his arms would be so weak he couldn't turn pages over in his Bible. And he'd have his Bible out. He'd have people come in and turn pages so he could read the Bible. You got both hands. What do you do?
Come on. Come on. Come on.
Me too, Lord. Hallelujah. It's good stuff.
Amen.
But see, I learned it. And the Lord said, and you know what he did? He said he got a hold of the bedpost and he pushed his legs. He had to push them out because they wouldn't move. He pushed them out. He got them pushed out. He got on the bedpost. And he said he was hanging on that bedpost as hard as he could. His knees were almost touching the floor. Nothing's happened. But see, he believes he's healed. Now, I'm going to tell you what. He's 16 at the time. I just said this. I told the Lord one time. I said, if a 16-year-old can believe you and get healed and get up, I said, there ain't no reason that Ed can say it ain't going to work for him. Because I ain't going to let no 16-year-old outdo me. Let's get straight. I said, my conditions have never been, you know, any worse than what he was.
Yeah.
Even my heart attack and thing. I'm sorry. I got to hold the bedpost. I'm getting out.
Amen.
I ain't laying down. And he was there. And he said he was hanging on that bedpost for everything he could. He's hanging on to that thing. Mm-hmm. And he said, he was there. And he said, all of a sudden, then he said, it felt like honey being poured on his head. Mm-hmm. Warm honey. He said, started running down. Off over him. He said, and he said, strength started coming into him.
Praise God.
But he said about it, he said, because his legs, the nerves and stuff have been, you know, nothing for so long. He said, it was so painful when the nerves started coming back to life. He said, it was like people just sticking pins in him. I said, well, how'd you like that? But anyhow, he got healed, got up and walked around the room. Mm-hmm. But you know what? See, he taught him, he said, he had to believe that God did heal him. Mm-hmm. Not God's going to heal me.
Amen.
I've watched this, God's going to heal me. And people, well, one day God's going to do this, this is going to happen. You know, God's going to do this. And I watch them go on and on and on. And, you know, they just go, if they do get well, it's just like the world does. They don't have any speedy recovery. They don't have nothing. They just get sick, just like the world does, and go through what the world does. I'm going to tell you, the Word of God performs.
Amen.
The Word of God is the best medicine you ever got.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, if the doctor would give me a medicine, if God's Word can't outperform that, it ain't worth spit.
That's right.
Come on. Mm-hmm. Come on.
That's good preaching, folks.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
We talk about God and power. We're waiting for power, and my God, the words in this book believes the most powerful thing that ever happened to you. I got saved. The greatest miracle that ever took place in my life was getting born again. Mm-hmm. And that took place just believing those words.
Yes.
Thank you.
That power. The church is running around looking for power. Plant a seed.
Amen. Amen.
A natural seed goes down there and gets in a little ledge in a rock and will turn around and that seed will start to grow and push and split that rock open.
Amen.
If that would happen in a natural seed, what will the Word of God do? I mean, it'll split sickness and disease right open. It'll just poverty right open.
Hallelujah.
It'll do it. It'll do it.
Hallelujah.
This is why we're talking about this, is the Word. Nicodemus said, he don't get it with the Word. He don't get what his need is. He's a nice religious person. Walking around. He's worse off than me. Jesus has disciples. The guys, that they ain't been Pharisees. They ain't been through all the rigmarole that they have. Yet, they can spot the Messiah when he comes around. Why? Because they were hanging around with a guy who knew what he was sent for, and he said to them, there's the Lamb of God that takes the sin of the world, and they said, we're following him. What did the Pharisees do? They criticized. They went down and criticized the one that was called of God to make way for the Messiah. I don't know. See, I watched them do that with Kenneth Hagin. I watched them criticize and knock, and I watched people do stuff and do those things.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all for their own detriment. Loads of people died prematurely over that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. I know.
The devil's had a lot of access to people over that kind of stuff. When people don't recognize what God's doing, when they don't recognize, when the Word of God's not important in the tradition of men, climbing the ladder of success, climbing that ladder of success in Christianity, you know, I'm going to try to get to the top. I'm going to try to go. No, I ain't trying to go nowhere. I'm in the kingdom, man.
Amen.
I'm secure.
Amen.
I'm set.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you,
glory to God. I'm a success. God made me that.
Amen.
I'm not trying to be one. What am I trying to be a success for?
Amen.
I'll tell you, when God looks in at the church world and who He sees as successful, you probably just turn the whole thing upside down. I'm serious.
Mm-hmm.
Of what He thinks. The whole thing gets turned upside down. Who He thinks on the top. It isn't about men. It isn't about people.
Amen.
Glory to God. Jesus went on, and I want to jump down here to verse 14, where Jesus said, and Moses, about Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He said, what's His purpose? That whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. How do you get eternal life? Believing in Jesus. I thought it was confessing sin. Thought for sure it was. See, all this stuff, people use these scriptures all the time and don't understand all what it's talking about. We get it through believing.
Mm-hmm.
Believe in the Word. We believe what the Word says. You follow the Word says. Hallelujah. Then He goes on and we talk about these scriptures and here they are. Now see, this is Jesus talking to Nicodemus. He's still discussing. He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shouldn't perish but have everlasting life. You see, this believing in Jesus, everlasting life is something you take on, is something you have. You don't go to heaven to get it. If you don't have eternal life here on this side, you don't go to God. You will live forever, but you will live forever for one place or the other, whether it be hell or heaven, one of the places. But you take on the God life. This is what you did. Eternal life is when you were born again. Your spirit now has the life of God. It is the life of God. You've been made of the life of God.
Mm-hmm.
Just like naturally, people have children that are like they are, you know. If you had a child and, you know, you went out here and they were born and they took the nursery and bought you a kid who was purple with green polka dots, you'd wonder, wouldn't you? Say, what on earth is this? You wouldn't expect you'd produce that. Does God produce something that's weird? Does God produce something? The Word of God won't produce something that's... It only produces what it's designed.
Amen.
This is why you got to make sure you got the Word of God and not some religious idea of what you put in or what you do. See, many people get perverted things out that they put in. And they say, well, God did. Because they were believing that way, so is God. No, it don't happen that way.
Amen.
God's Word always produces in its kind.
Amen.
Always. Always, always, always. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whoever believes in Him will not perish. He said, for God did not send His Son to the world to condemn the world, that the world through Him might be saved. See, it's not saved through confession of sin. It's not saved through Jesus Christ. It's believing in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
See, we need to bring, as the Lord dealt with me back a couple years ago, the church needs to bring Jesus back to the forefront again. They have not. People have bought their traditions, their confessions, or all this. Jesus is why this thing works. It's Jesus.
Amen.
The Word of God magnifies Jesus. God heals me to magnify Jesus.
Amen.
He doesn't heal me so I can just go do my stuff.
Amen. Preach.
It's not me so I can just live a nice life and do my thing and so I can feel good when I just do what I want to do. It's not what it's for. It's to magnify Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. See, it should be our testimony. If somebody wonders why we're doing good, our testimony should be because I follow Jesus. I walk with Jesus.
Amen.
This is why. This is why it's working.
Amen.
The Word of God is working in me. Hallelujah. Why I have health and vigor in my age. The reason I do it is because of Jesus.
Amen.
I can't take credit for it. I never had it till I run into Jesus. I never got it. His words did what they were supposed to do and they produce in me what I can't produce and what no doctor can produce.
Amen.
Amen.
But the Word of God will produce it. Hallelujah. And He says, so what? He who believes in Him is not condemned. The ones who believe in Him, it doesn't. He who get their sins forgiven. See, I don't have any condemnation. It's because I got Jesus. I believe on Him. There's no condemnation.
Amen.
See, Israel, you know, Israel, they had their things that they got their sins forgiven. But you know what? They were still sinners. Mm-hmm. And they still lived under condemnation. You're not going to get out of condemnation just because you got your sins forgiven, so-called. You're going to live in it because of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. I don't feel it because of Jesus. I believed on Him. There's no condemnation in me. Because why? My spirit has no condemnation to fall
Amen.
Under. My spirit ain't sitting around saying, well, you old knucklehead, you this. My spirit says, let's follow God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God's good to me. Your spirit and you in the inner man. There's no condemnation. But see, everybody's listening to the outside, looking at the outside, listening to what somebody says about it. I don't care what anybody else says about it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There's God in me. Christ in me, the hope of glory.
Amen.
Not God in me, the hope of condemnation, feeling rotten, and whatever else. Glory
Hallelujah.
To God.
Thank you, Lord.
But it says, look, it says, but he who does not believe is condemned already. See, we need to understand this. Just tell people. See, everybody's doomed to, you know, I'm doomed to heaven.
Amen.
That's right.
Woo!
It's set. It's
Hallelujah.
Set. The sinner's doomed to hell.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Already. See, before I got saved, my judgment was already set. God's not, we talk about one day God's going to, no, one day judgment's going to come on the acts that people do, but not where they end up. See, when we make it to heaven, we're going to just go to the judgment seat of Christ. We ain't judged about whether we're going to get to heaven. We're going to go there what we did while we were here in our bodies. What we did. Did we follow Him or not? Did we walk in the Word or didn't we? What we're going to do. And that there is about reward. Well, they get their reward. They're going to go and there is reward. If you didn't maybe do as bad, your punishment won't be as bad in hell. Some are going to be a lot worse than others. Why? They get the same thing. They don't get judged and say, well, okay, you know, St. Peter said it's all right, we're going to let you in the gate. Well, I'll tell you, that Peter I'd kick out. He wouldn't be in, he ain't going to be in, that Peter ain't going to be in my heaven.
Amen.
My heaven's where the just and the righteous are. That's
Amen.
Where they're at. Hallelujah. Not Saint Stupid. I ain't got enough of that stuff. They make up this thing with saints and stuff is the dumbest thing in the world. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, why is the person condemned already? Now listen, he says why they condemned. Because they didn't get their sins forgiven?
No.
How come people didn't read this stuff? No. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Amen.
Not because, why? Because all of them sin is forgiven. There's not one person today standing on the face of this earth that all their sins aren't forgiven. Not one.
Amen.
There ain't one.
Amen.
That's not the teaching of the majority of the church. They don't teach that. We need to understand, this stuff is the power of salvation. This is the power.
Yes, amen.
This is the power of salvation. It is so good. It is so wonderful. And you just tell people, you need to change. We have this if we really treat people nice. We don't want people to feel good, so we're not going to really tell them that they need change or there's something wrong with them. You know what? If I walked out here in a natural person and say, you know, if I'm allowed to call you a weirdo and a cuckoo and everything, and if you allow me to, I'll give you $1 million. Well, they'd say, call me anything you want. But you know what? We offered a salvation that ain't worth spit and wonder why. Because we said, oh, you know, you just need your sin forgiven. If that's all it is, just forget it. It don't amount to nothing anyhow. It wasn't much of a salvation
right.
anyway. Wouldn't do it.
That's right.
It's about this change thing. You know, I mean, dunking people underwater don't change your lives.
That's right.
I got dunked because it changed.
Right.
It was not for me. My water baptism did nothing for it.
Amen.
Didn't do anything for me. I've already been changed. God's already been working in me.
Amen.
I did that so other people would know it changed camp.
Yep.
You know,
Amen.
I'm in
Amen.
This. That's it.
Amen.
All this people, well, I got water baptism. It was such a blessing. No, that was a feeling you had. You don't know a thing about blessing. Made me feel good. I feel better now. And next week they'll be complaining about all kind of things going on and don't know a thing about believing God for nothing.
Mm.
Going through this rigmarole of call it spirituality and it ain't spirituality at all.
That's right. Amen.
Shall I tell you something? This morning, and this is no lie. I'm not making this up. I'll stand up here to worship. You know, if I would have went by my feelings, I'd have felt like God left it. I mean, I just had no anointing, I know nothing. And I stand, but you know what? I'm just standing here, and I said, and I just tell the Lord, I'm so thankful I'm anointed. Because you know what he said to me on an airplane after I got anointed with a teaching anointing, and I'm flying at that time in a TWA airline. I'm flying one, some of you may not remember those, but that was a big airline back then. TWA, and I'm flying over St. Louis, and in fact, I'm looking down at St. Louis. I was out of Tulsa, and I'd left up there, and I'm looking down, and I could see the Golden Arch down there, and you could see the Mississippi River running. And the Spirit of God said to me, it just spoke real clear to me and said, you're anointed now. You don't ever talk any different, no matter how you feel or what goes on. I anointed you. You're anointed. And never said it. I don't care how I feel. I'm anointed.
Amen.
I don't say nothing other than I'm anointed.
Hallelujah.
He said, don't matter how you feel, whatever. You never change any. You don't say what you say. Too many times, the reason our failures came is we talked about our feelings. And, well, I just don't feel. I didn't feel it. No, what did God say you are?
Amen.
I'm a child of God. I'm born again. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's who I is.
Amen.
Say, well, do you feel anointed? Nope. Do you feel like a child of God? Definitely not. Nope. But you know what? My mouth puts me over every time.
That's right.
Amen.
I won't talk about how I feel about it. I don't care how I feel about it. My feelings are stupid, and yours are really stupid.
Amen. That's true.
Feelings are so misleading.
Amen.
Misleading. The devil come give you a feeling, and if you talk it, you just join yourself to him.
Amen. Come on.
See, I won't talk. I'm depressed. I don't care if I feel like there was a rock sitting on my head. I ain't depressed.
Amen.
And I ain't going to ever, I ain't going to be depressed. I don't care. It ain't going to happen. Why? I refuse to receive that.
Amen.
I'm not going to sit down and worry. That's all depression is. People worrying about stuff.
That's right.
And I'll tell you, you can take all the medicines you want, but it just masks it. Mm-hmm. But it's coming. But as soon as you quit taking the medicine, it's back.
Amen.
That's right.
See, we need to get ourselves over in this thing and say, I'll tell you, the best pill you take is the Word of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You put that seed in you and you start using your mouth to water that seed.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, it'll split rocks. It'll do all, you know, that Word will do whatever you need.
Hallelujah.
It'll do for you what people say you cannot do and you cannot have.
Hallelujah.
And it'll do it for you.
Hallelujah.
You know, when I had my heart and I got the blood clot in my lung, and I wouldn't talk anything but the Word. You know, I'm not gonna go on to any of this other stuff. Hallelujah, I'm healed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the doctors, you know, and I'm when I was in the hospital, and the doctors, you know, I'm doing really good, and they're like, "Are you sure you're really okay? Are you sure you're?"
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, well, you know, this number. But see, now understand this. Doctors deal with the majority of people they deal with are unsaved or very immature Christians. So they're used to people complaining about everything and not doing well. So they're just measuring what they're used to. That's it. You know, are you sure? They would do that. I'm serious. There's no lie. I bet at least every hour somebody would come into the room, whether it's a nurse or a doctor, say, are you all right? I'd smile. Yeah, I said, I'm doing fine. I'm doing good. Okay. An hour later, somebody come in and say, are you okay? Are you all right? Then they told me I had to go to my family doctor after I got out. And I went to see the family doctor, this woman, and I walk in and she says, you're alive. Well, most people don't live through. She said, well, you're alive. That's the first thing she said to me. You're alive. I said, show it up. Boy's alive.
Sure enough.
That worked. Heart attacks, blood clots. I'll tell you, the Word works. It splits
Amen.
Rocks. It'll do for you, and it works. It's just the Word.
Amen.
It is. It's God's Word. It's people that, well, you, and even like people talk, the Bible uses the term a great faith. But any faith I got it from God's Word. It ain't like I made this thing up or I did something. Right? No, I just believed what the Word said. And I just, you know, the strength of your faith is from two things. What you say and what you do.
Amen.
Now the Word doesn't change. The seed never changes. It's always the same. It's what you do with it. Are you watering the seed? Are you saying the right thing and are you doing the right thing? See, if you want to get strength, you want your faith to be strong, you got to do.
Amen.
And sometimes, you know, there's something natural, don't do it. Just stand and believe. You want to, miracles don't happen because people run around and trying to fix things naturally all the time.
Amen. Come on.
They don't come from that.
Amen.
I never had a miracle happen because I did something. All I did is stand on the Word when I had my, I just stood on the Word. And this is my doing. I'm going to go for a run. I couldn't have found one Christian who would have agreed with me on that.
That's right.
I'll guarantee
Amen.
It.
That's right.
Amen.
See, this is my doing. When I said I believed I had my healing, it's mine. I believe I received it. You know what I do? Then I act like I'm healed. See, my body's saying, you stupid moron, you feel terrible. I have a choice. I can either go with my body, what it says to me, and my body was really talking loud to me.
Amen.
But you know what? I'd build myself on the inside that I had a greater voice inside Amen. Than I had the outside.
Amen.
The guy on the inside can be a big mouth if you let him. But your mouth on the inside is governed by what, if you've been running the big mouth on the outside,
mm-hmm.
don't be surprised you can't hear the guy on the inside.
It,
your flesh can outshout it. But you get that guy on the inside. Get him hooked up.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
See, if anything, I want you to get this morning about the new birth. You're born again. You need to see yourself and what you are. This is the Word of God. You're born again. See, we'll go over and look in 1 Corinthians. We won't today. But if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. See, and I found out with Kenneth Hagin why he was a success as a young Christian. That's all he'd say. People would ask him about him, and he said, I'm a new creation. That's who I am.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys see you're healed up around? Yeah, because I'm a new creation. That's why. I'm a new creation. I'm not the same guy anymore. We don't talk that. When I was a kid growing up, churches, people talk that stuff. We don't today. We don't do that. Because, see, it sounds weird. We don't want to be weird in the world's eyes because we want to be just like them so they like us and we don't get any kind of... No, I'm not like everybody else. I am not. I'm sorry. I'm a different purpose
Amen.
Down here.
Amen.
We're singing about we're a new generation. Yeah, people sing. Oh, why sing it or read it in a word? You don't act like it. It don't matter.
Amen. Come on. Amen.
I'm a royal priesthood.
Amen.
This is who I am. I am. I'm not trying to. I am. That's what I am.
Amen.
I'm a king and a priest. I am. In the kingdom of God, the kingdom that really matters and can produce anything, I'm a king in and I'm a priest in. This is why we don't go very far. We don't really believe those things. They're not really true to us.
Come on. Amen.
In the kingdom of God, I have authority.
Yes.
Amen. I'm a king over here. Amen. What I bind on earth is bound in heaven, whatever I loose.
Amen.
I'm a priest here.
Amen.
Yeah. The priesthood, you know, in the Old Testament, the priest, he was a connection between the people and God.
Yeah.
Man, I have a direct hookup with God. Me and God are like this.
Amen.
We're direct hookup.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is a high priest, but you know, I'm a priest in the same temple.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're seated at the right hand of God, and we're trying to talk to Him through a megaphone. My words. We need to change.
Amen.
We need to change in our thinking. We need these truths. The seeds of these truths, these words, will produce a miracle in you. It'll
Amen.
Make you into such a different person
Amen.
If you believe them.
Hallelujah.
Quit trying to be like everybody else.
Amen.
Don't. You're not like anybody else.
Amen. Preach.
We're not.
Set apart.
I'm not trying to fit here. I don't fit here.
Amen.
I belong to another kingdom. I don't belong to this one anymore.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
We need to get in this thing. Hey, folks, you need Jesus. Ed's leaving. When he goes, if you ain't called, you're in big trouble. You either go with Ed or you ain't going.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
And tell people the truth.
Amen.
People might say, people are really looking for a God. And the most of the religions of the world offer a better picture than Christianity's been doing.
Mm.
We're the people of power.
Amen.
We're the people. Those people know that they're not different, but they magnify their God and stick things out. We are the different ones. We're the change. God's in us. We're children of God.
Amen.
We should be magnifying this thing.
Amen. Come on.
Of who we are.
Amen.
This is what I am. I know you always get the people I know, who do you think you are? And I just tell them.
Hallelujah.
I said, this ain't what I think. This is what I know. I can tell you what I am. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But see, where we walk around people, they say, well, you know, people want to, you know, we're trying to get their sins forgiven. No, we want people changed.
Mm-hmm.
People Amen. Must experience the new birth. Amen. They must. They don't have a choice or they will not be in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Israel had forgiveness of sin and none of them went to heaven. Nobody could go to heaven to Jesus Christ. He's raised from the dead. Nobody went. Nobody could go. See, it don't matter. Forgiveness of sin don't fix us.
Amen.
We have a forgiveness of sin, but ours is not like Israel. Our sin's completely removed. Why? Because the guy who sinned is dead.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
I don't have a past life.
Amen.
There was an old dead guy I remember. I can tell you all the rotten things he did, but it wasn't me. I'm a new creation. You're either new or you're not. Mm-hmm. Most people don't see themselves as new. We don't preach like we're new.
Mm-hmm.
See, I can testify of the dead man.
Mm-hmm.
But I could tell you a lot of good stories about the guy who ain't dead no more.
Woo!
The miracles weren't in that dead guy. That dead guy got killed. Hallelujah. Thank God he shot him. Hallelujah. He's gone. He needed dead. Glory to God. Say, well, what happened to him? Say, I don't know. I don't go looking for him. Too many Christians live the life of looking at the past.
Amen. Come on.
No, we ain't looking at the past. He's a dead man. The
Amen.
Dead man did all those things. The dead man. But he's been judged.
Amen.
He's judged by God, and I became a new creation.
Amen.
Praise Woo! God. Hallelujah. January 1980, that's when I was born again. I am a new creation. My spirit has not existed since only at that time did came into existence. The real Ed. That's the real Ed today. That's his existence. That's when he came in existence. The past Ed, he's dead. See, you live like you're new. Live like you're something.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God. Well, that preached me happy.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just so glad I didn't go by my feelings this morning. Hallelujah. I'd have went home.
Praise
Hallelujah.
God.
See, you preach those things about there. It fires me up on the inside.
Hallelujah.
Just
thank you, Jesus.
The inner man
thank you,
loves to hear the.
Amen.
The inner man loves that water of those words
mm-hmm.
poured over it on the inside. Yeah. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to say thank you this morning. Hallelujah. For what you did in us through Jesus Christ. I want to thank you. Father, we are such a fortunate people to have the words of this covenant given to us. Lord God, it down through the centuries. All the people and what they went through to keep this word for us and to keep it, Lord, it printed. And the day come that we could have this in front of us.
Yes.
Lord, of these wonderful words, hallelujah, of life. And I want to thank you, Lord God. Lord, I want to thank you that your word's true. There's nothing else like it. There's nothing else that could be compared to it in your words. I know those words are life to us. They're life to us. Lord, I want to thank you. Not natural life to us, it's supernatural life to us.
Amen.
And I thank you. Those words are charging us up. They're made specifically for the spirit man, the real us. Oh, Lord God, I thank you. Lord God, that those words are building our inner man up. I thank you. He's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Oh, I thank you. Those words are in there growing and growing and growing. And I thank you, Father God, for the life of the Word. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus that again there be a fresh awakening in the church to the knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
Concerning salvation and the power of salvation of itself alone. Lord God, Lord, there's not been any great man or woman in the kingdom of God who did not come through the power of the new birth. Not a one. It's not through all of men's ideas and theologies. It was the new birth is what changed and made people stand up and carry the glory of God. And I want to thank you, Lord God. Those same words, hallelujah, people of the past that walked in the light of this glorious salvation. Lord God, hallelujah. It's no different for us today than it was for them. They didn't have a greater glory because there is no greater glory than the Word of God. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is the Word. How could we find a greater glory? And I thank you, Father God, for that words that are working in us today. I thank you, Lord God, that we're encouraged today and built up today. Hallelujah. Father God, Father, the inner man, I thank you, Lord God, we got a wonderful meal today. Hallelujah. Amen. To strengthen the inner man, that our inner man is bigger and stronger in the name of Jesus. Lord God, Lord, these words today just make me fall in love with my salvation. Amen. Again. Hallelujah. Oh, how wonderful and glorious it is. How good it is. And we thank you. It makes us just love Jesus more and more and more and more. What a wonderful Savior you are. Hallelujah. So we just say thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you're all accomplishing and doing in us. And will do mightily through us because of the Word of God. And we thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.